forward or backward. And of course, when we think about the direction that we are to take as Christians, we're to always be moving forward, uphill, forward. You know, it's difficult. It's not easy. And, you know, it's an uphill battle. And a lot of times the ground below us is not the most stable, not the most secure. So a lot of times we slip and slide. And, you know, just think about, you know, weather like today when the ground is frozen and trying to go uphill. You know, it's kind of hard to stand still. Without that constant effort going forward, what happens? You slide back down the hill and you have to retake all that ground. In our life, you know, if you just stop, chances are you're going to start going backwards, okay? So we need to see that this is a constant, ongoing struggle to be moving forward for God in our faith, okay? So why is it that we struggle going forward for God? Why is it that so many Christians are backslidden? They are not where they once were. And they're not, it's not that they're farther on with the Lord, which is what we should be, but they're in a much worse state than even they were at one time. Why don't we realize that we can't stay still or idle in the Christian life? It's a constant upward struggle, and when we stop, we go backwards. This is one reason why so many Christians are defeated, discouraged, and disheartened. And dealing with a lot of counseling, you know, with believers who are struggling in their faith, and a very common, you know, common thing that I hear in these counseling sessions is, you know, I just don't have the joy I once had, or I just don't have, you know, the desire I once have. So this leads to them living defeated, discouraged, and disheartened lives. No victories, no blessings. Always the same struggles and having to take the same ground over and over again. Think about that. A lot when you backslide, okay? When you backslide, you have to take ground over that you already took. And, you know, you might say to yourself, wow, this looks familiar, you know. And a lot of times those people who struggle with the same thing is because they're not getting victory over it. You know, they get there, they slide back. They get there, they slide. And they're struggling with the same thing over and over and over. And God wants us to have certain things in our rearview mirror and keep them in our rearview mirror. You know, we need to get past that. So what leads to this kind of Christian life and experience? What leads to a life of backsliding? And let me say one thing, okay? You don't have to do anything, literally, in your Christian life, and you will backslide, okay? So if, you know, we can't ignore this. So open up your Bible this morning to Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. And in verse 21 and 20 through 23, I'm going to be mainly this morning teaching from verse 24, but to kind of set it up, our context is 21 through 28, but look at verse 21. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Okay? What God is saying here through the prophet Jeremiah, now remember, Jeremiah was writing at the time when Babylon was right at the doorstep to take away Judah and Benjamin into captivity, okay? Because the 10 northern tribes had already many years before been taken into captivity, but now Israel is about to go. And God, what he's saying here to them God has never been concerned with our ceremonialism if we are not obedient to him. Okay? All the sacrifices and burnt offerings, if they're done with a disobedient heart, you know what that means? Nothing. Okay? Reminds me, turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51 is a very important psalm, very important in the life of David. Important for us today as believers. And of course, the backdrop of this psalm is, this is when Nathan comes and confronts David about his sin with Bathsheba and having her husband Uriah killed. And this is his confronting him. And during that time, David goes on to say, in that psalm, he goes on to say how he just knew something was wrong. He was not close to God. He confesses his sin. And in verse 16, we'll pick it up. "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then," okay, "then shalt thou be pleased with sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings, with whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." So what David is saying here, he's saying, you know, God doesn't want our sacrifice. God wants our obedience. After we obey, after, you know, we've confessed, then can be the ceremonialism, okay? A lot of times in our Christian experience, okay, in our Christian experience, a lot of times we expect God to bless us because we're going to church, but we're not being obedient in other things. Now, in these verses, back in Jeremiah 7, verses 21 to 23, the first command is to obey God's voice. Okay? Now, for us, to obey God's voice, that's when we hear his word, you know, through reading it. Okay? So, I need to obey God's voice. And what will the result of obeying God's voice be? I will be your God. You will be my people. Okay? So we will not be, as we'll see later in our morning message, we will not be enemies with God. Okay? But God, he'll be our God, we'll be his people. And the second command in those verses, 21 to 23, walk in all the ways I've commanded you. And then what is the result? That it may be well for you. Okay? When I was a child, I grew up in a home that believed in corporal punishment of children, okay? So much so my father was a corporal in the United States Marine Corps, so he practiced corporal punishment. But anyway, and my father would always say, you know, it's less painful when you obey. That was his exact words. And, you know, you learn. Now, you know, what is God saying here? If you do what I say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be good for you. Why did Israel go off into captivity? Why did Judah go off into captivity? Because they disobeyed God. They disobeyed all the warnings from the prophets, and they disobeyed. And because of this, they were backslidden. They weren't where they once were. Now, the main part of our text comes from verse 24. And I think, did I give you blanks to fill in your notes? Okay. The first point, as we'll see from verse 24, is the deafness, D-E-A-F-N-E-S-S, the deafness of the backslider. Okay? Notice verse 24. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Okay? So the first thing that happened is the deafness of the backslider. They hearkened not. Okay? Now, we don't hear, we don't use that word very much anymore, but hearken. Hearken carries the idea of not only to hear, but to hear with the intention of obedience. Okay? Hearken. To hear with the intention of obedience. So you're listening very carefully because you want to obey. Okay? And if you want to obey, if you want to please God, what are you going to do? You're going to listen carefully. And that even goes on with the next. Nor inclined the ear. Now we've heard this phrase many times in the past, but it carries the idea of to bend near to hear. Okay? Who here is hard of hearing? Anybody? Okay? What do we do sometimes? You know, we put our hand to our ear, we bend near, you know, we turn up our hearing aid, whatever it is. But, you know, but it has the idea of to bend the near to hear. So what does it say here? But they hearkened not, nor inclined the ear. So the deafness of the backslider, one of the first things that happens in a life of a believer when they are in a backslidden state, before they got to that backslidden state, they didn't listen carefully to God. Okay? They didn't listen carefully to God. Now, you know also in our morning message, we're going through the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, verse 29, in chapter 3, verse 6, verse 13, and verse 22, we hear this exact phrase from the Lord Jesus. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay? So at the end of every letter to the seven churches of Asia Minor, Jesus is basically saying, listen up. Okay? Listen up. Have you ever said that? Listen up. You know, this is important. I can remember being in school, you know, the teacher saying, okay, listen up. You're going to need to know this later. This is going to be on a test. This is going to be on a midterm. This is going to be on a final, whatever it may be. Listen up. This is important. And what do we do sometimes when somebody says that? We even write it down because we don't want to forget. Okay? So one of the first problems that we encounter before we begin to backslide is the deafness of the backslider. Okay? We just don't hear with the intent of obedience. We may hear, okay? You know, so he heard, but he didn't hear, you know, fully with the intention of obeying. And you know, that's what we have to do. A lot of times, friends, let me say this. We read the Bible, we might hear, but do we hear with the intention of obedience? Okay? Point one. Any questions on that? Point one, the deafness of the backslider. Bill. Yep, and it's better if you read a little bit, you know, and get something from it, something that you can, you know, do and bring into your Christian experience than to say, hey, I read 10 chapters today. What'd you learn? You know. Because again, confession again, there have been times that I have put my Bible down and said to myself, what did I just read? You know, so, you know, we have to guard against that. Because if we continue to do that, what's going to happen? Backslide. Okay? All right. Because that's a problem, isn't it? A lot of times the problem is background noise. Even when we're in a quiet place reading the Bible, where's the background noise? Inside the head, you know. What am I going to cook for lunch? What am I going to do this? Dan? And good point. And remember, that word hearken means to hear with the intention of obedience. And that's how we have to approach, you know, God's word and messages we hear and sermons we might listen to, with the intention of obeying. Okay? Point number one, the deafness of the backslider. Number two, the device of the backslider. D-E-V-I-S-E, the device of the backslider. Notice it says, but they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. But walked in. And of course, walked in the Bible doesn't have the idea so much as putting one foot in front of another to get from point A to point B, but it's our manner of life, okay? It's how we conduct ourselves, okay? And how did they walk? In the counsels and in the imaginations of their evil heart. The counsels and the imaginations of their evil heart. Counsels here means devices, okay? It means purposes. It means the designs. It means the schemes. So it carries the idea of, you know, they didn't hearken, which will then lead to me devising my own lifestyle. Okay? And a lot of times, I'm talking about Christians now, and I counsel Christians, and when they talk to me about their lifestyle, I'm like, how did you get here? Here's verse after verse after verse after verse that says, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing this. How is that? They turned a deaf ear to God, and then they began to walk their own walk. Okay? Their own way. Okay, they walked in the manner, again, that has the idea of a manner of life or lifestyle and counsels in the imaginations. Imaginations here means stubbornness. Okay, they walked in the counsel and in the stubbornness of their own evil heart. And evil, of course, means wicked. And when the Bible talks about the heart, it's not necessarily talking about the organ that pushes blood through our body, but it's talking about, you know, kind of like the totality of man's inner being. What does Jeremiah in chapter 17, a couple chapters ahead, verse 9, tell us about the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Okay? Now, would you agree with me that God has a way set out for us that he wants us to live? Right? A Christian life. He wants us to live. Now, there are many things in that Christian walk that are common for all of God's children. Okay? Many things. You know, reading his word. And, you know, we think of the book of Acts. We think of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The meeting together for the study of the apostles' doctrine, for meeting together for church and sitting under his word, meeting together for prayer, meeting together for breaking of bread, celebrating communion, meeting together for fellowship. There's things that are common, but there's also particulars for your life and my life that God has for each of us. And so God has this laid out, but so many Christians are backslidden because A, they didn't hear, and B, they kind of are living their own life. Okay? They're doing it, as Frank Sinatra said, my way. Okay? And I'll spare you the singing this morning. But they're doing it their own way. And this leads to backsliding. Who is writing this passage? Jeremiah. Who is Jeremiah? The weeping prophet. In the beginning of the book of Jeremiah, when God calls Jeremiah, this is God's call to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I've called you to preach to my people, but they're not going to listen to a word you're going to say. Wow. You know. Why? Because they haven't listened to a word that I've said. And this has gotten them to this point. Okay? The device of the backslider. Any questions, comments, thoughts? You know, living your own way. Now, let me say something to this. God's way is the best way. And God, you know, sometimes God does bring us through rough roads and thorny passages and trials and struggles and uphill battles. You know, it doesn't mean that it will be the easiest way, but it'll be the best way. You know, and we have to understand that. And so much, you know, Christians want the armchair, the easy chair life, you know. Like, I love my easy chair. I love after, you know, I know some of you are going to laugh, after a hard day of work, you know, and I don't work physically hard like some of you do, I realize that, but you know, it's nice to put your feet up, but that's not real life, and that's short periods, you know, we can't have a life like that, Dan, right? And that's a good point, you know, when you live the kind of life you want, a lot of times you're with people that you shouldn't be with. Why shouldn't you be with them? Because God said you shouldn't be with them. Okay? And again, what is one of the principles? I don't remember the number. Please forgive me. Are you people, help me. But the principle that says those who don't love the Lord will not help you serve the Lord. Okay? So if you hang around people who don't love the Lord, they're not going to help you serve the Lord, you know, and they're going to take you to a place. Chris? Didn't Jiminy Cricket say, "Follow your let your conscience be your guide too," right? Jiminy Cricket even said that, right? So, you know, so liberal theology gets their theology from Jiminy Cricket. So, right, and the truth will set us free, and the truth will lead us, and the truth will sanctify us. And what is the truth? God's word. Okay. Oh, that might be, if he's asking for forgiveness before he says something. Oh, go ahead. And that's a good point, because a lot of times when people, you know, I counsel certain people and certain people are struggling with things, a lot of times it does revert back to that babe mentality, you know. Well, he hurt my feelings, or this or that or the other things. And I'm not saying that's, you know, no one wants their feelings hurt, but a lot of times it goes back to my feelings, if we allow him. But we can also have our conscience be seared, you know what I'm saying? That's a very good point, if we allow him to lead. But we still, our heart is still wicked, and we still could be led the wrong way if we follow our heart rather than the Spirit of God. Yes. So that's why we need the Word of God to wash our mind, you know, and to follow and realize that even my saved, you know, life, and I can make very selfish decisions, you know, that affect. Good. Good. All right. Let me move on to this last point here, and because we're running out of time. Number three, the direction of the backslider. The direction of the backslider. But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went what? Backward, not forward. Okay? So they went backward. And literally, this carries the idea of turning their back on God. It's not just, you know, trying to climb and keeping the face, you know, focused up there. It's like this. This is too hard. It's easier to go downstairs than upstairs, you know. And so it's this backward, not forward. And we must realize that as Christians, we have an ever advancing cause. Okay? Look at Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 5, the Bible says this. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a what? Perpetual backsliding. It's perpetual. Turn to the book of Hosea. Okay, I mentioned Hosea was the other book. After the book of Daniel comes the book of Hosea. Okay. you get to Joel and Amos, you went too far. But Hosea chapter 4 and verse 16 says this, "For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer." Oh, that's a nice terminology. You know, that's definitely not a compliment there. Look at chapter 11, verse 7. "And my people are bent to backsliding from me." Okay? So this is even how their life became. They became bent that way. Now look at verses 25 to 27 back in our text. "Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have ever sent unto you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet ye hearken not unto me, nor incline the ear, but harden the neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee." Okay? So, a backslider is in danger of getting to a point where they will no longer hear. Okay? They'll no longer hear. This is what happened to Israel. They no longer heard. So, how do we stop backsliding? Okay? How do we stop backsliding? Notice Israel didn't hearken. Notice they did not incline the ear. Notice they were stiff-necked, stubborn, okay? They didn't listen to God's servants. So how do we stop our backsliding? Well, we'll pick up on this a little bit more next week also and the week after, but based on what we've learned today, we need to listen with a keen ear and with a heart and desire to obey, submitting our will to God's. Okay? So I need to listen with the heart of obedience and tuning my will to God's will, because God may be saying something to me that goes against how I'm living and what I'm doing. So what needs to happen? I need to change my will to His will. One more verse to look at. Back in Hosea. Hosea 14 and verse 4. The Bible says this: "I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him." Okay? So can a backsliding believer be restored? Yeah. But what do they have to do? Listen, obey, and their will needs to submit to God, and they need to repent. Okay, so next week we're going to look at the problem and the results of backsliding, and then in 2 weeks the solution. Any last minute questions or thought? Joan first. Yep, that's true. I mean, and we, none of us are adequate to live the Christian life. We need God's help, but you know, if we listen to Him, we can do that.